Matthew 15. And we'll pick up in God's Word in verse 21. Let's give our attention to the reading then of God's Word. Then Jesus went out from there, and he departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Now, beloved in the Lord, we mentioned already at the end of our last service that we're going to be asking a question and having a little bit of a focus this service on the times when we feel as if God is not listening to our prayers. I don't think it takes very long living in this world or living as a Christian before we find a time when it feels as if God is not listening to us. And it seems as if for all the prayers we make, God does not care. There are times perhaps when, like this woman in our story, there is a parent pleading for a child. Maybe they're pleading for the salvation of a beloved child. Maybe they're praying for the healing of a sick child. And we cry out to God, and we pray, and we bring our requests to Him, and it seems as if He's not caring, and He's not listening. There are times in our own personal lives, perhaps, where we come to know our own sin, where we have that fight of the faith, and we're trying to live for God, and we find ourselves failing. And maybe it's one sin constantly laying hold of us again and again. And we cry out to God and we ask Him to deliver us from this sin, to help us to conquer this sin. But it seems as if God doesn't listen. Maybe it's a time when we are feeling lonely and we have few friends and we ask God just for one, not 30, not 50, but one good friend. And we pray and it doesn't come, and it seems as if God is not listening. What do we do when it seems as if God isn't listening to our prayers? How do we respond? In the passage before us, we have a challenging passage. We have the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Have a woman come to him that he seems to ignore, doesn't respond to. In John 6, he said, "Whoever the Father sends to me, I will by no means cast out." And here is this woman coming to Christ, and Christ will have, it seems, nothing to do with her. He does not answer her cries for mercy. And when the disciples tell him at least to send her away, that they may leave, she may leave them alone, he says, "I'm not even sent to this woman," we think he says. "I was not even sent except the lost sheep of the house of Israel." What do we do when God is silent? And what is Christ doing in this passage? Is he denying himself? Is the one who said, "If anyone thirsts, come to me and drink," now refusing to give water to the thirsty? When we cry out to God and we pray and we ask him for help, is he refusing to give us help when he doesn't answer, even though he promised he would? What's going on? Well, the truth of the matter is that our Savior is not ignoring this woman. He doesn't ignore any of his children. There's not a time when his people cry out to God and God fails to hear them. He always hears the cries of his people. But the truth is, sometimes he waits. And sometimes he waits in the answer because he has something greater to do. Something greater. And in this case, it is to show what he pronounces as great faith. Great faith. Two people in all of Scripture receive the praise of our Savior as having great faith. One is the Roman centurion who prays for the healing of his servant. And when Jesus says, "I will come and heal him," the centurion answers and says, "Lord, I am a man in authority and under authority. And I have soldiers that I say, 'Do this,' and they do it. And they listen. And I'm not worthy to have you in my home, but if you just say the word, my servant will be healed. And Jesus says, great is your faith. The only other time he says it is here. To the woman he seems to ignore. To the woman he seems not to care about. But beloved, he cares with the deepest caring. Sometimes God waits and sometimes God hesitates because he's drawing out of his people great faith. And he's drawing out of his people great faith for the glory of God and the glory of his name. Let's then look at this passage together and see what it's like. The first thing we want to see is that this is a righteous request. It is a righteous plea. Sometimes when God doesn't answer our prayers, we may think it's because we aren't doing things right. There are some pastors or preachers on TV who will tell you that if you are asking God to heal yourself or your loved one and he's not answering, it's because you don't have enough faith or because you haven't said the right words. Maybe you have to claim a certain promise of God and speak it out loud. And if you just did that, then you'd be healed or your child would be healed or your loved one would get better. Beloved in the Lord, it is true that sometimes our sin separates us from God. And if we are living in outright rebellion against God, that God will, in a sense, not hear our prayers until we come in repentance, until we come in faith. But hear it well. If God does not always answer our prayers in the way we want him to answer them, it is not because we miss something. Even righteous cries sometimes must wait for an answer from a holy God. And that's what we see in this woman. She is a righteous woman, and she has a righteous request. The text begins in verse 21, telling us that Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him. Now this would be shocking, shocking words to the ears of a Jew, or to the ears of an Israelite. This is the only time in the entire gospel that Jesus Christ entirely leaves the area of influence from Israel. There are times when he is working with mixed groups, both Jews and Greeks living there, but this is the only time in the entire gospel where he goes into an area which is Gentile, fully Gentile. And the Bible tells, that means they're unclean. They're unclean. And the Bible tells us that a woman of Canaan comes to Jesus and cries out to him. Now what does a woman of Canaan tell us? The word Canaan is the word for the promised land. And if you remember how God gave the promised land to Abraham, he gave Canaan to Abraham and said, you have to go there and your children will go there, pardon me, and they will bring judgment on the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan is so wicked that you must go there and punish, be my instrument of punishment upon them. They were so unclean, so far from God, that he would bring judgment upon them. And here is a woman of Canaan. A woman from these unclean nations coming to the holy God to ask a favor, to ask for help. But remember what we've just read. Remember what we've just studied in the first 20 verses. It is not what is outside a man or a woman that makes them clean or unclean. It is what is in the heart. And if we look at this woman, we have to ask the question, what is in her heart? What is there? We find out by the words she says. Even as Jesus says, those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. These words that this woman says come out of her heart. And what do they show us about her heart? Well, I'm going to tell you, they show us that she's clean. That she's a believer. That she's a Christian. And she's a wondrous one. We begin with her words in verse 23, the first phrase, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." What does that tell us about this woman? You know, sometimes when we find and have bad news, our temptation is to come to God saying how good we are. Maybe you've been diagnosed with a disease from your doctor, and you go and you pray and you say, Lord, I've become a Christian. I've been trying to change my life. I've been counting the cost of following you. I've taken up my cross. I've tried to help people. I've tried to pay back those I hurt and say sorry for them. Why are you giving me this? Don't you remember? Remember that I've done all these things. Remember that I'm a new person. Remember that now I go to church. Heal me. Heal me. There's a temptation to take all the things that we think might convince God and put them on the table and show him and say, Lord, look at all the wonderful things I've done. Is this not worthy of you seeing me and healing me or hearing my prayer for my father or my mother or my spouse? And this woman doesn't do this. She instead says this, have mercy on me, O Lord. Jesus told a parable of two men who went into a temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and when he went into the temple, he looked up to heaven. And he said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I give gifts of all I have to the church. I fast twice a week. I pray often. I read my Bible every day. I go to church when Pastor Mitch tells me to come to church. Thank you that I am such a good man. The other one wouldn't look up to heaven. He's a tax collector. Instead, he beat his breast and cried out over and over, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus says that it was the second man who cried out for mercy who went home justified in the sight of God. The second man was redeemed. Not the man who had so many things to claim. Not the man who thought he'd done so many good works, but the one who just knew he needed mercy. Now, this woman knows she needs mercy. She doesn't have anything to come to God with. She can't come to God saying she's been such a good person. She can't come to God saying there's a reason that he should heal his daughter. She doesn't come to God saying she's my only daughter. She just says, Lord, I need grace. I need you to treat me in a way that I can never deserve. Have mercy on me, O Lord. And you see right away what kind of heart this woman has. It's a heart that knows she's a sinner. It's a heart that knows she has nothing to stand on. She knows she needs grace. And if there's anyone that our Savior tells us He loves to embrace, is it not the child who comes to God saying, have mercy on me, a sinner? So it's a righteous request because she knows she needs grace. It's a righteous request because she knows who she needs it from. She says, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. And that phrase, Son of David, comes from a ways back in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God made a covenant with David. And he said to David, David, when you've gone, I will take your seed, your son after you, and I will sit him on your throne forever, and his kingdom will never end. And those who study the Old Testament know then that God was pointing to the Messiah, the eternal King, who would be the Son of David. This woman comes to Jesus. She calls him three times in this passage, Lord, and once Son of David. She knows he's not just a good man. She knows he's not just a kind man. She looks at him because he is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and that is the person she needs. She knows she needs Christ in her heart. She knows she needs Christ in her mind. And she has faith. Because she says to Jesus, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. I love the word severely. Because I don't know how I'd respond to demon possession. We read in the Bible of the man who lived among the tombs and they put him in chains and he broke the chains. He was demon possessed, the Bible tells us. If he broke chains and no one could be near him and he cut himself with shards of pottery and he was wild and he was demon possessed, what would a woman look like who was severely demon possessed? I don't know. I know at the very least it meant she was under the bondage of Satan. At the very least it meant she was a slave to the wicked one. And this woman believed and knew that Jesus Christ could set her free. Is that amazing? For her to come to Jesus and know that He could set the slaves free, even from the power of the devil. Is there something missing in her prayer? When Jesus doesn't answer her a word, we come alongside and say, it's because you know you don't just believe in Jesus enough. You don't really realize who He is. Your faith is a little weak. If it was a little stronger, He would answer you. Beloved Lord, by no means. This woman is perhaps one of the most beautiful women we see on the pages of Scripture. We should read her story and our hearts should go out to her. And we should say, wow, what a woman of God that is. How beautiful this woman of Christ has become by God's grace. And you know what, beloved in the Lord, when we cry out to God, and we cry out to Him for mercy, and we cry out to God, to Jesus Christ, who's the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who died for your sin, and you ask Him to do great things to set you free from sin, to help you fight the power of the enemy, and you find that He does not answer, beloved, please know it is not a lack necessarily in us. But sometimes even righteous requests do not get the answer they want immediately, because God has something greater. What do we do then? What do we do when we need help? Our loved one is hurt. And I think, I love this story because the mother pleading for her daughter. I love it. She's not pleading for herself. We've seen friends go through different struggles, and I remember one father who had some struggles, and he said, "You know, I'm just so thankful that it's me and not my children. I can bear this. I can go through this. To watch my kids struggle with this would be so much harder." This woman is pleading for a daughter. Oh, beautiful. What does she do when God doesn't answer? She doesn't stop praying. So righteous request first, and secondly, persevering prayer. Verse 23, "He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and urged Him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.'" Now, what does that mean? When the disciples say she cries out after us, it means that this woman didn't stop praying. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, have mercy on me." And Jesus didn't answer, so she kept on saying it. "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Lord, heal my daughter. Hear my prayers." I don't know if you've ever seen the kids in the grocery store lineups. It's never our kids. But all the candy bars are right there. And they say to mom or they say to dad, "Can I have an Aero bar?" "No." "Crunchy?" "No." "You know, Mars?" And they just keep asking and they keep asking and they keep asking. You know, we might discipline our children when they do that. But you know, when you ask God for good things, He wants you to keep asking. Jesus taught a parable in Luke 11 that we would never lose heart, but persevere in prayer. And He told a parable of a widow who needed justice from an ungodly judge, and He wouldn't give it to her. So she kept on knocking and kept on knocking and said, "Give me deliverance from my enemy." And finally the unjust judge said, "Because you're wearing me out, I'll help you." And Christ's application was this: if the unjust judge would hear the cry of the widow, how much more will your Father in heaven hear the cry of those who come to Him? Does God ever ignore His people? Does He ever fail to hear us, beloved? He always hears our cry. And when it doesn't appear like He hears us, what should we do? Should we give up? Should we say to ourselves, "Maybe He just doesn't love me after all. Maybe He just doesn't care after all. Maybe He's not real after all." Beloved, no, we keep pressing on. We keep saying, "Lord, the only hope I have is You." Why would this woman not leave Jesus? Because she knew no one else could save. No one else could heal her daughter. No one else could make her well. If it would not be Christ, she had no hope, and that is faith. Faith clings to Christ and says, "Of all that is in this world, if I do not gain Christ, I lose everything. Everything." Jesus answers in a way that surprises us. The disciples tell Him to send her away. Don't let her keep on praying. He says, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He reminds us that His earthly mission focused first and foremost on the Jews. Even after Christ leaves the earth, Paul will say the gospel is the power of God to salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile, then to the non-Jew. Jesus says, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And this woman, does that put her off? Does that despair her? Does that cause her to stop crying? No, to the contrary, she comes in verse 25 and worships Him, saying, "Lord, help me." And then comes perhaps the hardest words of our passage, verse 26. Jesus says to this woman, who has cried out for mercy and help, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Now, beloved, we have to ask again the question, what in the world is our Savior doing? In Isaiah 42, we have a picture of our Savior, and it says that He is a gentle Savior, and He will not break the bruised reed or snuff the smoldering wick. Now, those are wonderful words that remind us that when the Christian or when the child of God is struggling and they're feeling like they're overwhelmed, Christ won't break them. When we know our sin and we know our weakness and we know how much we've fallen short before God and we come to God with all our wickedness, He won't destroy us. And yet, He comes to this woman and He says, listen, I can't take the kid's bread and give it to a dog. What's He doing? Is He not snuffing this woman's faith? Is He not breaking this bent reed? And the answer is by no means. Not even close. Because what does the woman do? She says, you're right, God. You're right. Back in verses 10 to 12, Jesus corrected the Pharisees. He said that they were wrong for saying you had to wash their hands and that true defilement came from within. Do you remember what happened when the Pharisees were told they were wrong? They got all mad. You know, how dare you tell me I'm right? And in verse 12, the disciples say to Jesus, do you know the Pharisees were offended by you? You've just offended them. You've injured their pride. This woman is called a dog. It doesn't injure her pride. Instead, she says, you're right, God. You're right. I'm not worthy to get the food from the children. I'm not worthy to come and sit down at the table of my Lord in the kingdom of my God. I'm not worthy to get a place at your table, but let me just be a dog and eat the crumbs that fall down while the children are eating. You've seen it. You've seen the kids eating their food. We could probably go in there right now and find the crumbs that are left on the floor from the kids. They ate their food. She says, just let me lick them off the ground. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a beggar coming to your home and they knock on your door and you say, I don't have much food left. I just have enough food to feed my children. I cannot feed you. And they say, let me just pick up the crumbs that fall from the table. Just let me get the crumbs. Can you imagine a beggar who would say those things to you? Can you imagine this woman, beloved in the Lord, who has such perseverance that she says to Jesus Christ, I know I don't deserve a thing, but I just need such a small piece, just a crumb. Just give me a sign of your love, a sign of your favor, one word of forgiveness, one look of smile from your face. Just give me the smallest measure of help. That's all I ask. Can you consider how great this woman's faith is? That she realizes if just Christ smiles upon her for a moment, she will get all she needs. That she doesn't need to come to the table. She just needs to have the leftovers and she will get all she needs. There's a woman who had a bleed for 18 years and she reached out to Jesus as he walked and thought to herself, if I just touch the hem of his robe, I'll be made well. And she was right. You don't need everything. You just need the smallest piece of Christ, the smallest bit of his favor, and you will be made well. And if she got the smallest bit of Christ's mercy, her daughter would be healed. And she knew it. And Jesus says to her, O woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Now let's ask the final question. What does Jesus give her? What does Jesus give her? He has not answered her. He has not answered her to draw out of her this incredibly beautiful expression of faith. But what does faith receive? What does faith receive? Let me ask a question of you this afternoon. Did Jesus give her crumbs? Did Jesus put her under the table? Did he let her get the leftovers? To the contrary, he said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Of all the people in the Bible, to receive that, this was one of them. This dog was one of them. To receive the greatest acclaim of Christ. O woman, great is your faith. And then he says to her, you will get a crumb? No, he says, it shall be to you as you desire. What happens when the children of God ask for just a crumb? Sometimes we picture the kingdom of heaven. We picture the final day when Jesus Christ will return. We will stand before the judgment seat of God. And perhaps sometimes we think to ourselves that maybe, just maybe, He'll just let us hold the door. Maybe, just maybe, when all the people are going into the New Jerusalem, into the feast of the Lamb of God, maybe we won't be allowed to get in. But maybe God will let us hold the door. And we'll be able to stand there and we'll hold the door open and we'll watch all God's people walk in to the feast. And maybe we'll be able to stand by that door and look at them celebrating and just be glad that we get to be a doorkeeper in the house of our God. Have you ever had that feeling? Ever had that thought? Lord, maybe I won't get a big castle in heaven. Maybe I won't get a mansion. Maybe there won't be a reward, but just let me be there just a little bit. Let me be on the edge. Give me a house on the outside of the city. Just on the very, don't even give me a house. Give me a cardboard box, but just let me be somewhere in the kingdom of God. What happens when God's children say, Lord, just give me a little. Just give me a crumb. Just give me the smallest amount. What does God give them? Does God ever give His children crumbs? No. When the child of God says, I know I've forfeited everything. I know I deserve nothing. I know I shouldn't get to sit at the table, but Lord, I just need a little grace. God gives them everything. He makes them sons and daughters of God Most High. The prodigal son returns saying, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. I'm no worthy to be called your son. Make me like a hired hand. And the father says, bring out the fattened calf and kill it. Put a ring on his finger and a robe on his back. Because this son of mine has come home and he was dead. He's alive again. You know what, beloved Lord? Jesus Christ did not go to the cross to give his children crumbs. He did not suffer the wrath of God against your sin to just give you an outer ticket for the kingdom. He came to give you everything. He came to make you His heirs, co-heirs with Christ. That all the glory He receives, all the favor He has gained because of His perfect obedience would become yours. That you'd be looked upon by God the Father as if you had never sinned or been a sinner. As if you were as perfectly righteous and holy as Christ was righteous and holy for you. And this is not because we earn it, and this is not because we deserve it, but this goes to every single person who cries out, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy. I know I deserve nothing. I know I shouldn't even be allowed in the room, but just give me a crumb. And He gives everything. Do you know what it is to find your Savior going above and beyond your expectations? Do you know what it is to know you deserve nothing and you forfeited everything? And because of Christ's work on the cross, He gives you more than you could ever have received. Because in one sense, there are no crumbs of grace on God's table. Every Christian has a right, as those who are members of Christ and members of His church, to partake of the Lord's Supper, where they receive nothing less by faith than Jesus Christ Himself, and all His benefits are ours. There's no halfway. There's no outer ticket. There's just the reward of faith. And her daughter, the Bible tells us, was healed from that very hour. But she got something greater. As much as a mother can desire the salvation or the healing of her daughter. And I think in reading that word, her daughter was healed from that very hour. I think because it was a demon possession, because she was under the power of the enemy, I think we can at least have a confidence that that daughter was brought to a saving faith. But the woman had it to her as she desired. All that she could wish, all that she could hope for, God granted it. Because she came to the Son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would go to the cross to make her His. In verse 24, Jesus said He was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. At the end of the verse, end of the section, we realize that this woman is the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She may not have the right external, she may not have been born of the right parents, but you know what? She stands by faith in Jesus Christ. And when you stand by faith in Jesus Christ, you are a sheep of the house of Israel. Love and Lord, it's not about what we've done. It's not about what we've deserved. It's not about how much we can claim before a holy God. It's about how much we realize we deserve nothing, but Jesus Christ has won it all. And if he will just have mercy, then we shall be saved. Beloved, let us know what it is. And sometimes we may not have a great faith, but we always have a great Savior. And when our faith is weak and our hope is trembling, we realize we may not get to sit at the table. Let us remember the Savior is greater than all our weakness. And coming to him with the smallest crumb of faith, we receive the greatest inheritance as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen. Let's pray.